We're a few weeks away from my daughter's second birthday, and it's been an awesome experience watching her develop. One of her favorite things to do is check in on her people. So when you open her bedroom in the morning, you can expect to hear something like, "Mama? Dada? Sam?" I got to admit, it feels pretty good to be on her important people list. But recently, some Disney princesses have snuck in. Mama? Dada? Sam? Elsa? Anna? Occasionally, she'll slip in her favorite show. And more recently, ice cream has made her top five. I'm still somewhere in the top three, but I'm a little nervous that I'm going to get demoted. I mean, who can compete against ice cream? Perhaps during these crazy times we live in, you've been prone to do the very same thing. Check in on the people or things that are closest to you to bring you a little comfort. Have you recently made a few more phone calls to a parent, grandparent, or child than you normally would? Has the urge to binge a show or two on Netflix felt a little stronger? You didn't bypass that mint chocolate chip when you were stocking up on the essentials, did you? We're all searching for a little comfort these days, and that's not such a bad thing, is it? But intuitively, we know that there are all sorts of bad ways we can get it. A little too much ice cream isn't good for anyone. Sleeping in too long just makes the body more tired. And jumping into a relationship too quickly after a breakup can leave us with all sorts of regrets. And sometimes when our discomfort is the most acute, it seems like we can do nothing to ease it. Whether it's facing financial uncertainty, being sidetracked with our goals, or watching a loved one from afar get sick. Unfortunately, a little ice cream doesn't make it go away. Is it possible that God not only brings comfort to us in times like these, but is also deeply interested in doing so? This is important to know, because if we don't believe that God cares about our comfort that much, then chances are we're not going to invest our energy into finding it. Perhaps we'll even turn to something else in times of pain that will only cause greater problems for us down the road. Now, there are some of you that have been Christians for a while, and you have a hard time believing that God is disinterested in your comfort. But there's also a part of you that has gone through some seasons of real pain. And even though you believe God can bring comfort, you're not so sure that he's really interested in bringing it on every occasion. And then maybe there are some of you out there who don't believe God cares that much about comfort at all. You look at the world around you, and you reflect on your own personal experience, and you don't find either to be a reflection of a God who comforts. And it makes sense that you'd feel that way. It's hard not to draw conclusions about God when we only see the world in a certain light. But perhaps some of you have doubts about a God who comforts because your religious framework holds you back. The centerpiece of the Christian faith, the death and resurrection of Jesus, involves a lot of suffering. Christians who followed Jesus suffered a lot too. And isn't the pursuit of comfort a selfish thing? Isn't God all about making us less selfish? Doesn't he want us to live sacrificially? How does comfort fit into a picture like that? Where does ice cream fit into a picture like that? And why does it seem like so many of the things that bring us comfort are things that God is telling us to avoid? Maybe you hear the voice of your mother telling you to eat your vegetables, or your father saying, "No pain, no gain." Pain can be something that has a positive impact on our lives. It can create an incentive for avoiding potential pitfalls. It can motivate us to work harder. No one likes pain, and we'll do all sorts of things to avoid it. Why would God want to hijack that opportunity for personal growth? So there's some that do believe God comforts but don't feel it. Others who don't believe it at all. And still others who struggle with reconciling a God who expects us to live sacrificially and focus on self-improvement with one who generously comforts. It turns out that there are some pretty sound reasons to think that personal comfort is not that big of a priority for God. I wonder if some of those thoughts weren't rolling around in the Apostle Paul's mind too when he sat down to write to a troubled church in Greece, the city of Corinth. The church had caused him all sorts of grief. They challenged his leadership. They were practicing and condoning all sorts of evil things, even the kind of evil that made their neighbors turn their heads. And all the while, Paul was experiencing some personal tribulation he simply calls a thorn. Whether it was some ailment or a interpersonal issue, we don't know. But Paul was praying about it with regularity, and he wasn't getting the answer he wanted. In fact, he finally heard from God after praying for God to remove that thorn three times. And God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." God wanted Paul to stop boasting in his own abilities and strengths and to boast in his power instead. So he didn't remove the thorn. But you might be wondering, and Paul might have been wondering at the time too, if the point was simply to suffer through this life for self-improvement. Is comfort a bad thing? Does God care about our well-being if he is only concerned about our self-improvement? I suppose if we read that story from Paul in isolation, it would be pretty easy to think that way. But the beginning of his letter frames it in a much different, if not surprising, light. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Paul opens his letter by calling God the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He cares and he comforts. Maybe that would have been surprising to a church who knew that Paul had suffered. And Paul doesn't deny that he did suffer. He'll even go on to catalog some of the incredible ways that he did suffer. But suffering and comfort can coexist. In fact, it's perhaps in suffering where the comfort of God can dwell the most, because it's otherworldly, supernatural, and it doesn't take its cues from the circumstances around. If Paul's proposition about God's comfort was a self-centered, petty thing, it might be easy to write it off. Our world is filled with easy religion. And as much as it might entertain the masses, it's easy not to give yourselves to something that doesn't cost us. But the surprising thing is that God's comfort isn't just about you and me. God never designed us to pack our closets with comfort the way some of you might be hoarding Charmin right now. God gives you his special comfort so that you can learn it and pass it along. It turns out that God has this big plan for his comfort. And that's important because it gives us confidence that we can receive God's comfort in all our troubles, just as Paul said. If it were just about making my life easier, it might be hard to justify, but the comfort of God is given to us to enjoy and extend. We can count on God to give us comfort because he gives us his comfort that we might pass it on. God wants to comfort you in your distress because it's good for the whole world that you experience it. As a way to invite some of this comfort into your life right now, I want to encourage you to do something simple. Take a pen and paper and write this simple phrase down. God wants to comfort you in your suffering. And then stick it on the mirror or the fridge, somewhere where you will see it throughout the week. Or if your email is handier, send yourself an email with "God wants to comfort you in your suffering" in the subject line and leave it unread so you can see it and come back to it there. Is it possible that if you camped on that idea for a little bit, it could open up your heart to accept God's comfort as a reality and see it when it comes your way? Anthony Martinez and his wife had already set up the nursery in their home with the expectation of the joy that would be coming in their first child. But tragically, without expectation, their daughter left the world the moment she came into it. Her name was Piper. Anthony was a sound technician for a band called The Afters, and the band invited them to come to a tour that they were doing in Amsterdam, hoping that they might bring some encouragement to the couple. A group came back excited because they saw a restaurant that shared the name of their daughter with its unique spelling, P-I-E-P-E-R. So they all visited the restaurant, and as they left, one of the band members noticed something on the wall. It was the only thing on the wall, and he called the couple close to look at it, saying, "You should take a picture of this and has Piper's name on it. It was an award that the restaurant had received for hospitality. The couple drew close, and they broke into tears when they saw that the date of the award was their daughter's birthday, a sign they took from God in their season of deepest grief. So what's holding you back? Can you imagine experiencing a little comfort no matter what the forecast is? What if God was able to pour a little comfort into your soul right where you are watching this even now? The suffering may not go away today or tomorrow, but we can count on God's comfort to meet us in these places, because it's not just good for us, it's good for the world.